Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Capp.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collin.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to
The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to The Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas! With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I am, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Yes, that's right. It's that glorious time of the week again, Thursday nights from 6 p.m. when the Troy Murphy Show graces the TSSR bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 7 p.m. as we look at the weird, wacky, and wonderful news from home and abroad that happened this week, as well as some of the more serious news stories that we all need to know. So the fun stuff up the front of the show, the serious stuff up at the back. Big thank you to BJ and Grozy for taking on the first hour of Drive. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Brilliant as always. And I welcome your listeners who have stuck around and may delight in the Troy Murphy Show this evening. Now, here at the opener of my show this week, I'm going to ask you a question. A question from the Year 7 NAPLAN test. It's a numeracy question. A question that was asked to our New South Wales Education Minister, Sarah Mitchell, and Labor's Prue Carr, who is her counterpart vying for the job in the upcoming New South Wales state election. That's happening very, very soon. This happened this morning. The question is, pears cost $4 a kilogram. Ben buys 4.15 kilograms of pears. How much does Ben pay for the pears? Think about it. Lock your answers in. I will give you the correct answer towards the end of the show tonight. And I'll also tell you how the current New South Wales Education Minister and the potential new New South Wales Education Minister answered. And if they got it correct or not, you might be surprised with that answer. Moving on, before we get to celebration of the day, quick little public service announcement. An apology. I am not well today. El Fudo, El Poisoningo. Not fun, not comfortable. But here in the entertainment and information world, the show must go on. And I will endeavor to do this, my weekly hour of radio. But bear with me, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. And as always here on the Troy Murphy Show, every day is a celebration. Yes, it's important to celebrate every day. As today, the 23rd day of the month of February in the year 2023, we celebrate National Toast Day. Really? National Toast Day? They'll kind of celebrate anything, won't they? But we're going to celebrate it anyway. Well, according to those who indicate that this is a day that we celebrate, this National Toast Day. National Toast Day is, and I quote, and an extremely exciting day as we get to experiment with the opportunities of how we would normally usually have our toast. We're encouraged on this National Toast Day to try out various different ways to enjoy this go-to snack and get creative with how we present it on our plates. Kind of feel this week we're at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to celebration of the day. Which of course brings us to this week's top five. Being National Toast Day as we celebrate toast, I thought we'd do something a little bit fun, a little bit strange, a little bit weird. We like the weird here on the Troy Murphy Show as we do the top five weirdest things to put on your toast, starting with number five.
Five.
Plain. Nothing on your toast. That is weird. Did you know that toast originated as a way to preserve bread rather than the tasty breakfast item smothered in lots of margarine or butter and then peanut butter on top? The only way to have toast in my mind. And that bread was originally used as a plate in medieval Europe. It was called a trencher, which was a stale piece of bread that was served as an absorbent plate beneath the food. At the end of the meal, the trencher was either eaten or given to the poor or fed to domestic animals. Fun facts! Did you know that? If you didn't, well, you learn something new every day.
Four.
Number four, tinned mackerel and raw onions. Weird. But I know people who enjoy that.
Three.
Leftover chicken jelly. You know, after you put a barbecue chicken in the fridge, you know, so you have delicious leftovers for later, and there's that weird jelly that gets all hard at the bottom? Yeah, that. That's weird. And if you spread that on toast, even weirder.
Two.
Meat. Meat on toast is great. But any sort of faux meat on toast, weird. Weird indeed. Especially faux bacon. That stuff should be criminal.
One.
And at number one, well, it's not technically something you put on toast, but something you do to toast and how people cook their toast. Anyone who burns toast to a crisp, you know, charcoal, char-grilled toast, that is weird. Who hurt you? And what is wrong with your taste buds? And I do hope no one is eating their dinner right now because that was very weird and not very palatable of a top five list. Does not make me hungry. Or maybe, you know, I gave you a great idea for dinner tonight. On the show this week. It's been a weird week in the news. Weird week indeed. And we're covering it all like... How many Australians are owed money by their mates? We'll answer that question. There's also cigarette-style warning labels. We all know them. They're on cigarette packets. But they're coming to a meat packet near you. We'll take a look at that, as well as jump on the Roald Dahl bandwagon issue. And we'll take a look at new research that supports the four-day working week, along with our weekly regulars, local Shire news, the weird, wacky and wonderful news from around the world, plus so much more. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here at the Troy Murphy Show, responsibly. Don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SR.com.au homepage program guide.
Ponder this. In 20 years, actor Leonardo DiCaprio's cringy age difference in the women that he dates will switch narrative. The women will become cringy and viewed as gold diggers. Now for a quick check of the weather. Tomorrow, Friday, possible rainfall, tops of 24 degrees. The weekend, Saturday, tops of 26 degrees with a measly 10% chance of rain. Sunday, it's heating up again, tops of 29 degrees with a chance of rain still lingering. And Monday of next week, 20% chance of rain, tops of 27 degrees.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under the weird, wacky, and wonderful news from around the world. In breaking news, the mystery behind a 30-centimeter tall ancient mummified mermaid that has been worshipped by the Japanese for hundreds of years has finally been solved. The mermaid is believed to grant immortality to anyone who tastes its flesh. Turns out that this mermaid that has been part of Japanese folklore is in fact made of paper, cloth, and cotton, with no evidence of any skeleton at all. It's a hoax, folks. How embarrassing for those who worshipped it. A crafty hoax indeed. Well, a paper crafty hoax, really. Also in weird, wacky, wonderful news from around the world that's broken this week. You know, we all know about the election voting fraud allegations in the US. Yep. It was always being pumped out by Fox News. Trump had his election stolen from him. He was adamant about it. Well, according to a lawsuit, or allegations in a lawsuit, it turns out that the source of these allegations of election fraud came from one woman, and one woman who got the information through the form of, and I quote, time travel. Yes, time travel during a semi-conscious state. But in good news, the company that ran the election is seeking $1.6 billion from Fox News in defamation. Also in weird, wacky, wonderful news from around the world, the latest on the war in Ukraine has seen the EU place further sanctions on Russia to stop the sale of toilets. Title this news story as "For Russia, No Flush." See what I did there? From Russia with love, for Russia, no flush. That's why I get paid the big bucks here on community radio and get the golden microphone. Yes, they're flushed. The EU has flushed the further sales of toilets to Russia. And not just toilets. The list includes bidets, lavatory pans, flushing cisterns, and any sort of similar sanitary ware. Well, if that doesn't give the Russians the shits, I don't know what will. Well, maybe it's best that they don't get the shits, because soon they won't have a place to go to do their shits. Or is it give their shits? Give them the shits? Good grief. Let's move on. And if things couldn't get any stranger, New York Times technology columnist Kevin Roos. Well, this week he had a two-hour conversation with Bing's artificial intelligence or AI chatbot. Now, Bing is Microsoft's web browser thing, and Microsoft created this AI chatbot, and it kind of turned out a little bit problematic because the AI, during the chat, the conversation, made some bizarre statements, including that it had a desire to steal nuclear codes, engineer a deadly pandemic, be human, be alive, hack computers, and spread lies. Now, I'm not saying that the warning signs are here in regards to the development of artificial intelligence. Who am I kidding? That's exactly what I'm saying. Is it just me? Or does anyone else see this as a giant red flag? Stick around. Coming up next, we talk about the surprising percentage of Australians who owe their friends money. And later in the show, the answer to the NAPLAN question I asked in the opener. Have you got it yet? Pears cost $4 a kilogram. Ben buys 4.15 kilograms of pears. How much does Ben pay for the pears? Find out which politician who wants to be the education minister after the New South Wales state election got this Year 7 NAPLAN question wrong.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
If you consider yourself to be an expert on Australia's greatest footy code, now's your chance to join the Shire's greatest tipping comp. Head to 2SSR.com.au and click on the NRL tipping tab for instructions on how to join. It's the Sideline Eyes Footy Tipping Comp, Sunday nights from 7 p.m, only on 2SSR FM 99.7. You're simply the best!
2SSR FM 99.7. Never miss a beat. Follow The Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. In less than one human lifetime, there will be no one left that knew the world before the internet. I think that's my lifetime because I remember what life was like before the internet. Ugh. Now for a quick look at what's happening around the Sutherland Shire. Art Express is coming to the Hazelhurst Arts Centre, featuring 50 outstanding HSC artworks, including 7 by students from schools in the Sutherland Shire and St George areas. This year's exhibition sees a strong emphasis on identity, culture, and sense of place. Works include drawings, paintings, photo media, sculpture, and digital art forms. It's open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily until the 10th of April, and admission is free. Support young talent from here in the Shire. For more, call 02-8536-5700.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under, dude, you owe me money. A recent study showed that 1 in 4 Australians are owed money from a friend. That means there are roughly 4.8 million people waiting for friends to Stop being so lousy. The study included a survey of 1,085 people, and it revealed that the most common debts that are forgotten are tickets to shows, joint gifts, and the classic splitting a bill at a restaurant. Close behind is sharing a taxi, travel expenses, and gambling. Gambling? You're lending money to people to gamble? Those people deserve to not get their money back. Simple rule in life, well, actually a few, never lend money to people. And if you lend something to someone, money or anything, do so without expecting it in return. Simple life lesson. Maybe I should, like Jordan Peterson, write a Simple Rules for Life book. That would be definitely number one. Clearly, I have been burnt before in the past, and I am speaking from personal experience. I lent a car to a friend, he crashed it. I lent my laptop to a friend, he spilled coffee all over it. Kapooted. Helped a friend with his rent and a little bit of extra cash while he was looking for a job. Never got it back. This was all years and years ago, which is why I have a blanket rule that I don't lend people money and I don't lend my things to people unless it's in my supervision. Well, actually, I lie. I did lend a friend money recently, and whilst I do hope to get it back one day, I only lent it by telling myself I probably wouldn't see it again, whereas in the past, when I lent my laptop, I expected it back. When I lent my car, I didn't have to expect to spend thousands of dollars to get it repaired. And the money I lent for rent and extra cash while my friend was looking for a job, I did expect it back then because I wasn't earning much back then either. Nowadays, if I do lend money, I do want to see it back, but I don't expect to see it back. And I think that's a good attitude to have when it comes to lending money, because the data backs it up. Because according to the recent study, the data showed that many people who borrowed money from a friend had no intention of paying them back. Of course they will say it. You know, they'll say it. They'll say, of course I'll pay you back. Of course. But deep down, we all know, no intention. If they haven't got the cash now, they're not going to have the cash in the future. Only 14% of those surveyed stated that their friends actually paid them back. 14%! That's not high enough of a statistic. So let's make this interactive and fun. Head to the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page or the Instagram or the Twitter. Find this segment's post and have your say. Answer this question. What is the most amount of money a friend owes you? Stick around. Coming up next, a bit of a fun topic. Not fun, weird, strange, but we'll have fun at its expense. There's scientists who are putting cigarette-style warning labels on meat. Is this going to be the new normal? Stay tuned to find out.
Catch up with all the latest news from The Troy Murphy Show. Visit www.thetroymurphyshow.com.
Ponder this. Botox does not make you look younger. It makes you look like you got Botox.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
The Court of Public Opinion is now in session. Scientists in the Netherlands have recently found that slapping cigarette-style warning stickers on packages of meat could help shame buyers into purchasing something else. Why are they doing that? Well, they're doing it mainly to see what influence it has on consumers. And it's also this underground push to have people stop eating meat. Now, when it comes to this cigarette-style warning stickers on packages of meat, some of the messages shown include sad pictures of animals with slogans like, "Animals suffer when you eat meat." And the Amazon rainforest is destroyed when you eat meat. Really? Really? Look, I know. Look, there's no denying it. I know animals get slaughtered so we can eat meat. But the practices are done humanely. Well, animal mainly. You know what I mean? And how's beef from Australia having an effect on the animal? I'm sure there's research somewhere or some very loosely tied link that I could probably go and research, but I'd much prefer to go cook myself a delicious steak instead. Researchers found that by adding a sticker to meat packages, warning potential customers about the negative consequences of their purchase, it may be an effective way to influence buyers' behavior. And the results? Well, according to the authors, they have concluded that meat-shaming messages, that's what they're calling it, meat-shaming. Well, we all know their agenda when they use language and terminology like that. Meat-shaming messages trigger shame, but also other negative emotions that translate into the reduced purchase intentions. I see lawsuits if that happens here in Australia. You will have your lamb associations and your beef associations suing for lack of sales. Court of public opinion time. Let's grab the little gauntlet there, little hammer out. Look, I think we as a globe probably consume too much meat. And I think in recent years, we've adjusted. We know that it's not the greatest for the animals and the environment and all of that stuff. But there has been a conscious shift in society to maybe not eat, you know, the traditional meat and three veg and potatoes every night for dinner and go for different options like your fish and your vegetables and your stir fries. And, especially here in Australia, we have adapted to this. I think we've moved more in the right direction. But before we go down a path of shaming people for what they eat, remember, unlike tobacco products, eating meat is not as harmful to your health. Maybe more harmful to the poor animal that was slaughtered. But, it's nature. We're carnivores. And we're not the only ones on this planet, living things eating other living things. It's part of who and what we are. And let's not forget the benefits of eating meat. Meat is a great source of iron and protein, depending on the meat you eat. And you can imagine if we all suddenly stop eating meat, especially steak, the iron deficiencies. It's already a problem in society enough as it is, with people having to take supplements to increase their iron, especially that's, I think it's more of a problem with women than it is with men. But, you try to solve one problem, you create another. A balance needs to happen, not a shaming. And nothing, for me personally, nothing, not even a cigarette-style warning sticker on a package is going to stop me from enjoying my bacon or my duck or my seafood or my blue-cooked steak with a mushroom sauce. And I say that because, I was a smoker for a very long time and I still smoke cigarettes with the cigarette warning on it. I think that says more about me than anything else. You watch it though. The sheep here in Australia will follow suit and follow suit soon. And I guarantee you, not long will we see here this shaming, meat-shaming, cigarette-style warning labels, stickers on our packets of meat. It'll happen in the next couple of years. The sad, sad sheep will do it. And these sad, sad sheep, well, you know, they should have been slaughtered at the ripe young age and served up as delicious lamb cutlets, in my opinion. That's a joke for anyone who's half listening. Coming up next, we'll jump on the bandwagon and look at what's happening with Roald Dahl books. That's next.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
It's time now for Sutherland Shire Local News.
Now for a quick look at Sutherland Shire local news. The Port Frederick, the first of two dredging vessels that have been enlisted to improve local boating channels and revitalise Cronulla beaches, has arrived. This week it started working on moving up to 70,000 cubic metres of sand dredging from the Port Hacking. This sand will in turn be deposited in Bait Bay to help replenish Cronulla and North Cronulla beaches after significant sand erosion that occurred during severe storms over the past 12 months. And that's what's happening in Sutherland Shire local news.
It's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We are so open with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba-dabba-doo time. A dabba-doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
2SSR FM 99.7.
For everything off air, follow The Troy Murphy Show on Instagram. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. The real world, you know, the one we live in, has supervillains, but no superheroes. A quick check of the weather. Tomorrow, Friday, possible rainfall, tops of 24 degrees. The weekend, Saturday, tops of 26 degrees with a measly 10% chance of rain. Sunday, it's heating up again, tops of 29 degrees with the chance of rain still lingering. And Monday of next week, 20% chance of rain, tops of 27 degrees.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6pm.
File this next segment under what? Really? Why? Come on! Stop bubble wrapping the world and let's not rewrite history. As this week we've seen news come out that Roald Dahl's children's books are being rewritten to remove language deemed offensive by publisher Puffin. A good side note, the French publishers of Roald Dahl's books are not doing this. I'm sure you've heard the news, but if you haven't, let's deep dive. Puffin has hired sensitivity readers to rewrite chunks of the author's text to make sure that the books, and I quote, can continue to be enjoyed by all today. This has resulted in extensive changes across all of Dull's work. Now, I don't know about you, but I loved Roald Dahl's books growing up because they were a little naughty and direct with language, as well as well-written, creative, and a great source to spark imagination and visualization of a make-believe world. Edits that have been made include descriptions of characters' physical appearances. The word fat has been cut from every new edition of relevant books, while the word ugly has also been culled. So, Augustus Gloop in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is now described as enormous. And in the Twits, Mrs. Twit is no longer ugly and beastly, but just beastly. You know, I'm surprised that the name Twit wasn't changed because, you know, when we're thinking about it, that could be problematic language there too. A twit is not a compliment. Hundreds of changes have been made to the original text, and this includes some passages not written by Dahl being added to his work. Now, I don't want to get all moralistic, high-horsed here or offended for the sake of being offended without knowing why I'm offended, but I'm offended here. Well, I'm not really. I'm just cautious. Because, all right, let's jump on the moral high horse. It should be criminal to change an author, an artist's original work. Authors are artists with their art of words and storytelling. Now, I am all for warnings at the beginning of a book or an old TV show or an old movie detailing how what is being depicted was a sign of the times when it was released and might not align with modern day values or expectations. But don't rewrite history. Let it be. Use it as a teachable moment. Changing an artist's work should, well, yeah, I'm going to say it should be criminal. Because could you imagine if someone went up to a Da Vinci and found something problematic with it in today's scope of what's acceptable in society and then decided to repaint it so it was appropriate for modern artists? You just wouldn't do it. In fact, I'm pretty sure we've seen this in history already when I should have done research before I did this rant, but it's just popped to mind. The Greek statues or the ancient statues that depicted the male form and had the male genitalia present, you know, they were all chipped off and replaced by a leaf. Not cool. Not cool at all. We just shouldn't do it. And we wouldn't do it to a Da Vinci. The same should go for an artist, an author, a writer like Dahl. In previous editions of James and the Giant Peach, the centipede sings, and I hope you remember this because it was always funny. Aunt Sponge was terrifically fat and tremendously flabby at that. And Aunt Spiker was thin as a wire and dry as a bone, only drier. Clever. Both verses have now been removed. And in their place are the rhymes, Aunt Sponge was a nasty old brute and deserved to be squashed by the fruit. and Aunt Spiker was much of the same and deserved half of the blame. Where's the descriptive? The thing here is whilst there are pictures in Roald Dahl's books, the words describe, original words describe what was going on and their appearances. This doesn't. I can visualize the first one. I can't the second one. It's just words on paper. Also in the rejig of Roald Dahl, references to female characters have disappeared. Miss Trunchbull in Matilda, once a most formidable female, is now a most formidable woman. At all. Gender-neutral terms have been added in places where Charlie and the Chocolate Factory's Oompa Loompas were once small men. They are now small people. The Cloud Man in James and the Giant Peach have... the Cloud Men in James and the Giant Peach have now become Cloud People. Now, according to Puffin and the Roald Dahl Story Company, they've made these changes in conjunction with Inclusive Minds. And according to this article, Inclusive Minds is capitalized, so that must mean they're a company or something. And their spokesperson describes as a collective for people who are passionate about inclusion and accessibility in children's literature. You know how we all blame our parents? Side note here. No, end of rant here. You know how we all... Punchline here. You know how we all blame our parents for screwing us up? You know, as you get older, we all reflect and we go, you know, our parents did the best they could with what they knew and during the times. They had no idea they were screwing up their children, in most cases. Parents of today, here's your evidence that you're screwing your children up. Like I said earlier, teachable moment. Teach kids that it's not okay to call someone fat. Teach kids that this is just Dahl's blunt writing style and that it's not okay to call someone fat. Don't bubble wrap and sugarcoat things to the point of non-existence, because how will kids learn? And my other thought on this, unless an author is present and willing to change their work, I repeat, their work should not be changed. Now, I'm not saying the change language was the reason why Dahl's books have been popular generation after generation of kids, but let's wait, watch and see what happens to his work in the future after the publishers go down this hill, down this little path. I don't think it will go well with them. Timestamp this and let's revisit this in 10 years' time. Hashtag rant over.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Lord Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
SSR FM, the home of the Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. Why do people put their clean clothes in the same basket they transported them in when they were dirty? Ponder that. Or you could just be like me and super lazy and just carry them to the washing machine and then carry them back for folding and ironing. Now for a quick look at what's happening around the Sutherland Shire. Tomorrow, the 24th day of February, is National Day of War Animals in Australia. On this day, the nation will recognise the important roles that animals have and continue to play in war. In honour of War Animals Day, Cronulla RSL will be holding a special memorial service from 10 a.m. The service will be held at the club's memorial garden. The garden features a bronze plaque dedicated to animals who have served during times of war and peace, which is the first of its kind in any RSL club in New South Wales. The service will be attended by retired heavy horse, a donkey, the club's honorary four-legged member, and local retired military working dog, Manic. That's tomorrow, the 24th of February, down at Cronulla RSL from 10 a.m.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under from the world of politically correct, grew the woke, and the woke is out of control. Now, the pulse of public opinion can always be seen on social media. Then it slowly echoes from there across other forms of media, news, radio, TV, then movies, and then social construct. And one of the most popular social media platforms at the moment is TikTok. Where am I going with this? Well, stay tuned, because it's going somewhere. TikTok is where we've seen the, for lack of a better word, the woke go after Twitter became problematic. I'm setting all this up here. Now, I get tagged in a lot of posts. You know, you get known for ranting on the radio, and then people start tagging you in stuff, and then all of a sudden your For You page becomes what's going on and what's been spoken about in the world of woke. Now, if you are up to date with the world of social media, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you're not up to date with the world of social media, keep listening too, because the rest of the media will catch on to this soon, and then you'll be ahead of the curveball. You see, during COVID, when the world was in lockdown and bored out of its brain, we saw a rise in, again, for a lack of a better word, woke language change. It's been slowly, gradually happening over the years, but there was a massive movement of change during COVID lockdowns. And I've often spoken about this topic on my show, and that is the removing of gender from language, the rise of unlimitless pronouns, and the important rise of the transgender movement for better understanding, acceptance, and equality, to the eventual tipping of the scales as it's gone too far. That's where we are at the moment. We've seen the rise of these things. In some parts of it I agree, some parts of it I disagree. And regular listeners to the show will know pretty much where I stand on most of these issues. But as for the transgender movement, which I'm all for better understanding, acceptance, and equality for the transgender community, they're part of the LGBTI plus community, the rainbow umbrella of which I am a member of, but it has gone too far. It's been tipped too far for a little while now, and all you have to do is speak in the slightest hint of caution about the transgender movement, and you get labelled a transphobe. A trick those who don't know how to argue, debate, or engage in common sense conversation will stoop to try and end a conversation on moralistic high grounds. And transphobe is often a word that is so overused so much without actually understanding what the context of the word means, or what it means to be a transphobic, that the word is losing meaning. But what we've seen online of late are women rising and raising their voices about having their identities and the qualities that make them proud to be the people who they are, women, taken away from them, erased from existence. Women are no longer mothers, they're birthing persons. You can't say breastfeeding. It's politically correct now to say chest feeding. Women, biological women, well, they're now cis women. There are even trans, to prove a point that this has gone too far and the tipping scales are coming back, there are even trans men and trans women who are speaking out against their own community, saying that forcing biological women to label themselves as cis women without consent or and insisting that trans men and trans women simply be called women is hypocritical, which it is. This is coming from within their own trans community. The whole movement, the pronouns, the removing gender from language, the transgender movement to the extremes it's gone to, is borderline narcissistic. And I'm glad that women are now speaking up and out about it. Now, of course, being a white middle-aged man, I should not be speaking on trans issues. If I were to be politically correct, should not be speaking on trans issues or women's issues. But, you know, I wear the gay badge with pride. I've got my membership card, so I think that gives me some level of victimhood to step out and speak on it, you know, because that's the way it works on social media. You've got to be able to claim you're a victim to have a louder voice. Because it gets even stranger. This whole movement has just gone bizarre, and this one's been brewing for years. There are some in the trans community, and I will continue to use the term trans here so you know which side of, for lack of a better word, woke movement I'm talking about, claiming that trans women get periods and period symptoms. And if you're a regular user on social media, you probably would have seen some of these videos pop up, but there are a lot of these videos when you go deep diving. Now, these trans women who are biologically born men are claiming to have periods and period symptoms. Period symptoms mainly, you know, the bloating, the cramps, all that sort of stuff, because that can be a cause of the medication they need to have to transition. But get periods? You kind of need a uterus for that one. I don't know where they're pulling this from or why they're trying to do this. But it's bizarre. And this is a whole multi-level topic, and I've dived very deep, very quickly into multiple different topics at once. But that's how vast this has all been. And it's difficult to cover the entirety of it all in just one segment on this show. In fact, I could probably dedicate many shows to this topic, but I won't because, you know, we are starting to see the tipping of the scales, a tipping I predicted would happen a while back. And one of those tipping scales is a topic I've spoken out on before here on the show, and that is the belief that the Harry Potter author, J.K. Rowling, is and was transphobic. If you missed that rant, it is online and available to listen back on the TroyMurphyShow.com website. I spoke then, and I have spoken for years, that I disagree with public opinion. I don't believe J.K. Rowling is transphobic in what she said. And in my rant that I put to air at the beginning of this year, but have held this belief for a very long time, she's a friend of the LGBTI community. And it's good to see that others are now coming out and seeing it for what it is, in the same way that I presented it as well. And that is that what J.K. Rowling said, and there were a few tweets, and there was a lot of in-depth in the rant that I did in January, and a lot of stuff online about it. If you go through and read it and base it on merit for what it means to be transphobic, so the dictionary term, what she did and what she said was not transphobic, but rather what she did and what she said was all about women's rights. Remember that movement? Women's rights movement? The movement that is still going on, that is being pushed down again by the patriarchy, that is genetically born men and now genetically born men who now identify as women, which in my mind is problematic for the women's rights movement. Dress it up and paint and glitter all you want. The rise of transgender equality over biological women's rights is still a male-dominated world suppressing women's rights. Well, it's women's rights. Like I said, it's still problematic. And we are a long way from this being resolved, but I'm grateful that I'm now seeing more people speaking up for women's rights and women's rights as a whole over this overtip scale of transgender, what has been perceived as transgender rights. We all want equality, but you can't get equality if you are going to remove it from someone else. And when you've got women's groups coming out and saying, I'm sorry, you're taking away what it means to be a woman by reducing the language or changing the language, then that's not right. Now, as I said before, I am all for the rise in the transgender movement for better understanding, acceptance, and equality, but not at the expense of others. I'm sure we will continue to talk about this here on the show. Hashtag that is rant over.
And it's all over, just like that.
I can't believe it. We're at the end of the show already. That hour went way too quickly. Now, at the beginning of the show, if you've been listening the whole hour, we posed the question from the Year 7 NAPLAN test. Pears cost $4 a kilogram. Ben buys 4.15 kilograms of pears. How much does Ben pay for the pears? The answer, $16.60. Now, I did say this was a question that was posed to the current New South Wales Education Minister and potential new New South Wales Education Minister this morning on breakfast radio on a different radio station. And surprisingly enough, the current New South Wales Education Minister, Sarah Mitchell, got it correct. But Labor's Prue Carr, she got it incorrect. Make of that what you will. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 6 p.m. for another edition of The Troy Murphy Show. If you've missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting and raving from tonight's extravaganza, listen back on demand by clicking The Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on the 2SSR.com.au website. Coming up next, the encore broadcast of The Combo. Until next week, bye for now.
SR would like to congratulate our very own Rhonda Francis, who presents My Kind of Country, for being inducted into the Australian Country Music Broadcasters Hall of Fame at the Tamworth Country Music Festival People's Choice Awards.
Of course, I'm excited, over the moon, completely and utterly surprised, because I was sitting in the front row of the Tamworth Town Hall because I actually had to do a presentation to one of the previous award holders who won the duo, and then I'm sitting there at the end of it and Bob Kirshner goes, now, he said, for the most important award of the afternoon, the Australian Country Music Broadcasters Award, and I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder who that could be. And next minute, he sang out my name.
Hear why Rhonda has taken out this most prestigious honour by tuning into My Kind of Country every Thursday morning from 9 a.m. only on 2SSRFM 99.7.
If you consider yourself to be an expert on Australia's greatest footy code, now's your chance to join the Shire's greatest tipping comp. Head to 2SSR.com.au and click on the NRL tipping tab for instructions on how to join. It's the Sideline Eyes Footy Tipping Comp, Sunday nights from 7 p.m. only on 2SSRFM 99.7.